Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on the brand new KTTH smartphone app. Seattle City Attorney Ann Davison, a Republican, she is getting aggressive. And she just made a move that upset the activist crowd. That is what's trending
in Seattle.
Want to do that again? You okay over there?
Yeah, doing great. We can run it back if you'd like.
You know, this is live.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Well, hold on. That is what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
I mean, it's still a little low. What's going on in there? What's going on?
I don't know why that was low.
What's happening?
We're good. Okay. We got it sorted out. Yeah, we got it sorted out.
I saw you looking at the drawings of the pubic hair art. Just be honest. You're distracted.
Sorry, the cat was... Yeah.
I mean, it was impressive.
I don't know if mesmerizing is the right word, but it was fascinating.
So there's something called the community court. And it's part of a partnership between the Seattle Municipal Court and the Seattle City Attorney's Office. And the partnership basically said, you will utilize us for a large number of misdemeanor cases. The way I would describe the community court is it is effectively a restorative justice program, one that has never worked. And yet the city kept doing it over and over and over again because maybe the point is that it never actually punishes criminals. We hear over and over and over again about how the criminal justice system is inherently racist. It is a white supremacy in action institution. We hear that all the time. It has to be dismantled. It has to be rebuilt. And maybe that is why the folks in Seattle leadership on the far left support the community court. Because what would happen when you go through the community court is the individual suspect would be immediately released from custody. They would be offered treatment if they need it, or resources if they need it. They would be offered something that they're supposed to go through in order to say, yeah, I'm taking this seriously. I'm going to stay on the right path. I'm getting my second chance or third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, 72nd. But this time I'm going to do it, and they would escape any meaningful legal consequences. And for the most part, we're talking about, in this case, homeless individuals who are breaking the law or drug addicts who are breaking the law, low-level criminals who are, you know, shoplifting and whatnot. So remember, we're talking about misdemeanors here. But the problem is they weren't actually following through with what they said they would. The anti-police crowd loves the community court. And when they love something within the criminal justice system, that should be a huge red flag to the rest of us. Because when we look at the data here, it's pretty transparently bad. It does not work. This is the third attempt at the program. And as Ann Davison pointed out in a letter to the municipal court judge who runs this, when she says, yeah, we're no longer going to do this. We're out. She says it, quote, fails to engage with court resources, the people entering it, fail to resolve their cases, and never perform even the minimal 6 hours of community service that was a central component of this agreement with the community court. So she's saying, yeah, we're putting people in. They're not doing anything. The criminal division chief under Ann Davison, her name is Natalie Walton Anderson. She spoke with King 5, and she said, yeah, now's the time to cut all ties with the community court.
We did not come to this decision, you know, easily. Obviously, community court and the principles behind it are something that, you know, we wanted to preserve. But it only makes sense to preserve a program that's actually working.
22% of the people who go through the community court program, only 22% graduated or even engaged with the services that were being offered. 22%. And when you look at the results over a 2-year period, according to Ann Davison's office, the chances of people committing a crime after going through community court, so becoming a prolific offender, was 52%. 52%. They go through it, and they are 52% likely to continue to recommit. Now, when you look at what Davison has been favoring, the pre-diversion program, she was on the show 3 months ago, 4 months ago. She says that that has worked to the tune of, instead of 52%, 23%, which is why now she's saying, yeah, we're going to do more pre-filing diversion. Now, what does that mean? As she explained on this show not long ago, rather than give someone multiple chances like the community court, this is pretty simple. You agree that you will do X, Y, and Z. Seek treatment for mental health or your addiction, whatever it happens to be. And if you actually do it, we will not charge you. However, if you don't do it, we 100% are going to charge you. And it's not going to be a simple slap on the wrist. Now, I have some problems with pre-diversion programs in a general sense because it's only as good as the attorney, city attorney who's in charge at the time. I'm grateful we have Ann Davison in charge right now, so I think it is more positive than negative. And I like the idea that she's looking at the data and saying, yeah, we're not going to do this anymore. I know the activist crowd likes this. Yeah, we're not going to do it. Just because the activist crowd likes it, I don't care. And I think I made this point last week. This is Ann Davison getting more aggressive, right? This is Ann Davison with 2 years under her belt saying, yeah, you know what? I've got this under control. I've been kind of keeping my head down and doing the work, and she's been doing some really great work. I have a bone to pick or two with some of the things she's done. But I think she has been incredibly effective given the context of the situation that she inherited. She's been incredibly effective. And now that she has a track record, now that people are starting to see some improvement, she's going to start taking a more aggressive role, a more aggressive posture. And I have to imagine she's feeling a little bit more comfortable doing it as we get closer to an election in which the Seattle City Council is going to look dramatically different. Now, of course, the activist judge in charge is not a fan of getting rid of the community court. His name is Judge Damon Shadid. And he also spoke with King 5.
I've watched hundreds of people make meaningful changes in their lives just by being given a chance to connect with services instead of being put in jail.
Just by given a chance, he's seen some changes, meaningful changes, whatever that means in this context. Notice he didn't say 70% or 90% of the people who go through the program succeed. He just says, I've seen hundreds of cases. Yeah, you see hundreds of cases. You see thousands of cases. Why don't we have a better result? He says, even just being offered the second chance. If we were only talking about second chances, great. But are we only talking about second chances? No, we're not. We clearly have a prolific offender problem. It's gotten much better as a result of Ann Davison. And so I love this. And frankly, even if the data for the pre-diversion filing program was garbage, I would say, well, an activist is upset. And that puts a smile on my face because I'm petty and mean. Push the button.
What's trending? What a dumb tweet.
I got to be honest, though. There was a dumb tweet, but something significant in my life happened. Something, as the judge would say, was meaningful in my life. I have been, and people don't know this about me, but I've been kind of ashamed to say that I never felt like I belonged outside, like out in nature. I never felt like I belonged. But now I can finally enjoy nature, which has always been my dream. As you know, I have always said, you know what I'd like to do right now? Go for a hike. Sweat.
Yeah, you say stuff like that all the time.
All the time, if only. Because the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, they posted its logo or emblem on top of an LGBTQ2AI, whatever the rest is, flag. And by the way, this is the LGBT flag that has the BLM colors in it on top of an extra big space for trans. The tweet said, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife believes everyone belongs outdoors. Okay. Was someone arguing that there are people who don't belong outdoors? Have you ever heard that there are certain groups of people who don't, quote unquote, belong outdoors? I've never actually heard that.
No, yeah, I can't say I have.
I mean, I've seen a lot of crazy things coming from the left. And I imagine that there are some people who say, because of, you know, nature is steeped in white supremacy or cisgendered heteronormative patriarchy, something like that.
Is this where that tree pronoun comes in?
Yes. I identify as tree. if anything, especially in Seattle, I would argue the belief is you all belong outdoors. In fact, we're going to do our best to make sure you don't go back inside. We're keeping this homeless situation as bad as it is because we believe you to be outdoors. Oh, but the tweet went on. Because they, at some point, they just decided to just make stuff up. Because what's today? What's today's date?
It is June 1st.
What is June 1st?
Start a Pride
Month. Yeah, and so you're going to see the pandering.
Oh, everybody changing their profile pictures. Oh,
here's my logo. It now has an LGBT flag on it. Okay, we got it. This is the rest of the tweet. Many individuals from BIPOC communities and or who identify as LGBTQ+, are still bullied, ostracized, and discriminated against by family members, employers, and communities. By reiterating that everyone belongs outdoors, we're expressing our support for individuals who may not feel welcome in other spaces. Okay, that is just cringeworthy. I'm sorry. Kudos. You told us where you stand on belonging outdoors. And by the way, for Pride Month, why is it that you're now bringing in the quote-unquote BIPOC community that might not be gay or lesbian or transgender? Why is it all of a sudden you're bringing it back to BLM again? Isn't that odd that they immediately have to go back to the quote? They're not even leading with the Pride message. They're leading with race. It doesn't say BIPOC LGBTQ members. It says BIPOC communities and or who identify. It's just super weird. It's just very bizarre. And we're going to get this kind of cringeworthy pandering nonstop for the next month. And it's going to feel like it's never going to come to an end. Every single group, every single business, every single agency, they're going to come out and say, we support the LGBTQIA2S++ community.
Plus BIPOC.
Plus BIPOC. And they do that so that they can earn some social currency. So that people look at them and say, ooh, that is a company that thinks like I do. I don't need a company, a government agency, a sports team, a politician. I don't need anyone to tell me in a virtue signaling tweet that they support the insert whatever community. Insert whatever demographic you want. I don't need you to tell me that. So I ask why you feel the need to tell me that. Because I would argue it's purely for selfish reasons. A perfect example is a tweet from Ted Lieu, the congressman and Twitter troll from San Diego. Happy Pride Month! And if reading that phrase bothers you, then take your hate and shove it. Oh, he's so edgy. He's such an ally. Which is what he wants you to do, which is respond and say, thank you, Ted Lieu, if not for you, as an LGBTQIA2S++ BIPOC member, I would never have the rights that I currently have. But also, it's the worst time in the world for trans people, and our rights are all under attack. But, I mean, we'll talk about that another day because it conflicts with our message. Thank you so much, Ted Lieu. Ted Lieu and others, they exploit communities. They're using Pride Month as a platform to signal their virtue. Ted Lieu isn't content to merely care about the LGBT community. He needs you to give him credit for it. It's the equivalent of someone doing something just to get a thank you, right? I'm only doing it because I want the acknowledgement. Well, then that doesn't really mean you care about the community if the only reason you're doing it is you want to get credit for it. It's a person who comes out and says, you know what I did yesterday? I donated $1,000 anonymously to a charity that helps orphaned dogs with three legs and one eye.
That's so noble of you.
No, please. Oh. I did it for the dog.
Oh, sorry.
This is not about me. This is about the three-legged, one-eyed dogs. There's this one, he's a little pug. He was struggling to breathe, and it really got to me. And so I gave them, did you know I gave him $1,000?
I do now, yeah. The second time you said it.
$1,000 I gave him. Wow. I'm not trying to make a big deal about me giving $1,000 to this nonprofit, but I gave $1,000 to this nonprofit. I mean, but I didn't do it for me, obviously. Sure, did it feel good? Yes. It always feels good to save lives, even when, and especially when, it's a dog with three legs and one eye. It feels great. But I did it for them. This is about them. And if you want to be as generous as I was in donating $1,000 to this organization, please join me. And when you give, make sure in the comments section you're giving because you heard about it on the Jason Rant Show. It kind of dismisses the work that you actually did. And I imagine there's lots of people out there who donate time, maybe to their church. They do work, volunteer work. Maybe they give money every single month to a charity. But you don't actually go out and promote it. Because the reason why you do it is not so that you get credit. And while you certainly acknowledge that it makes you feel good to give back, you do it in service of others. You do it in service of something bigger. And so keep that in mind for the next month. When you see all of these messages, all of these tweets, love is love. You got Kamala Harris and the first husband, whose name I keep forgetting, Doug something or Emmerhoff, something like that. And he's got a picture of him and Kamala Harris walking down the street in pride colors that says love is love. You know, I know who you love. Yeah, thank you. What benefit comes with that post? And what I think we should all push back against are the corporations that do this. And they all will do it. Every single one. Every single one. They'll change their logos. The second it becomes July 1st, oh, it goes right back. They don't keep that logo for past June. Why is that? Why is it that this month you care about the community, but the 11 other months you don't? Oh, we always do. Oh, really? Why'd you change your profile photo just this time? Why's your avatar a rainbow flag? The Sounders are doing it, which I love that. Sounders Today changed their logo. They do this all the time. While at the same time on their jerseys is Providence, which has been accused of like discriminating against the transgender community. But please tell me how much you care about the LGBTQIA2S+ community. Sick and tired of this. And the only reason they do it is because they think you're going to become more loyal to them. And I would argue, frankly, from both sides of these issues, that the companies that merely do this to display their virtue, there's going to be more pushback this year than in years past. Pushback from the conservative side of things, which generally say, I don't care where you stand on any of these things. What do I care what the position of McDonald's is, or Chick-fil-A, or Target, or Kohl's, whatever it is? And then you'll have on the other side the hardcore leftists who are saying, oh, really? Well, then why don't you sell this T-shirt or this onesie for kids? It's tuck friendly. If you don't do that, then do you really care? I think there's going to be pushback on both sides this year. And I hope that there is. I want it to be civil, of course, but I want it to be a little bit aggressive because I just want to go away from this in the future. I don't want it. I don't need your tweets during Black History Month or Women's History Month or Jewish American Month, whatever it is, Donut Day. I don't want any of that.
Somebody texted in and said June is Dairy Month as well. So can we change our profile pictures to cows?
No, we're going to change our logo to like udders with milk dripping.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
That would be good. That would be a good one.
Yeah. Yeah,
it would. The T and the T in KTTH could be udders.
Okay.
And like a farmer, well, let's have Brian dress as a farmer.
Yeah, that would fit better.
And then having him milk the cow.
That'd be a good on-air bit. Get a cow in the studio.
Yeah, well, now it's going to smell. You can put him in your suit. Maybe we can have Swiss cheese as like the K. Maybe each letter of the logo. Because our logo is just our letters. We don't have like a special
creative
artwork. Let's have the K be Swiss cheese. The first T could be the udders of a cow. The second T could be the milk that it produces. And the H, I mean, is there something especially creative around dairy that we can put on there? Oh, I know. It might be a little bit violent, so we'll have to figure this one out. But a hippie drinking oat milk with me behind them ready to punch them in the throat.
And like your fist is like the middle part of the H? Is that what we're getting
yes,
after here?
Yes. And in one of my other hand, I would have a glass of actual milk. Because oat milk's
that
not
would be
milk.
Cool.
What are we doing here?
Oat I don't, milk, some of us are milk. Lactose intolerant. Sorry.
Then guess what? You don't get to enjoy it then. Okay, not everyone most of gets
the
to enjoy it.
Most of the time I don't.
Okay, well then
stop. Does that make you feel
it.
Better?
Actually, it does. It makes me feel delightful.
I have lactose-free milk every now and again, but for the most part, I just don't partake.
It's like that's the equivalent of a vegan eating the fake bacon. You don't get to enjoy it. If you're a vegan and you're choosing that stupid lifestyle, you don't get to cheat and eat stuff that tastes like meat. That's for
does
us.
Does it taste like meat?
I don't know. I've never actually had. I've seen it. It looks gross.
I went to the store the other day, and they have these obnoxious vegan sections, right? And sometimes it leaks over into the regular people food. Mm-hmm. And I accidentally bought vegan meatballs, like the one thing that you would want to have meat in it, maybe,
yeah,
right?
Don't call it a meatball.
Well, yeah, it was a
meatless ball.
Tofu.
What is it?
It was soggy cardboard. I tried them because I was like, I bought these. I spent $9 on these stupid vegan meatballs. And yeah,
they
were
like,
it was like kind of like cardboard if you like bunched it up together and soaked it in water.
Well, that's consistency because I'm assuming you've never actually consumed cardboard that has been soaked in water.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it
tastes
like.
The funniest thing is on the back of it, like for the directions, they're like, be sure to cover it heavily in your favorite sauce.
Just drink from it. Just put the sauce in a bowl and consume it that way.
Yeah.
Because at that point, we're actively saying, this doesn't taste like anything, so please just cover it in things that would taste good so that we can trick you into thinking our product is quality. But we'll give you 43 grams of carbs and 7 grams of protein. Vegetable-based. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, at 4:45, you pick the stories. Story number one, that Montana transgender lawmaker is warning companies like Target, you better stand aside us. Or a Texas judge says no AI in the courtroom unless lawyers certify it was verified by humans. What? Which story? 1-800-465-8770.
Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services. They're online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle and instead focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. We start in Federal Way, where the Link light rail service will be delayed another year because Sound Transit is utterly incompetent. The Federal Way Link light rail extension is 70% done, according to Sound Transit, but you're not going to be able to ride it to and from SeaTac until 2026, which actually means 2043, because the contractors say they have to now build a 500-foot-long bridge because the soil that they previously anticipated building their track on is unstable to the point where if there was ever like even a little earthquake, the whole thing would collapse. Now, the Federal Way Mayor Jim Farrell, he said Sound Transit studied the soil previously and gave it the thumbs up. But once they actually got in and got their hands dirty and were actually starting to work, they were all like, oh, apparently it's not stable. This is not the first time we've had to deal with unstable soil or any kind of infrastructure that wasn't properly installed and it created cracks. This happens all of the time with Sound Transit. You cannot name a single Sound Transit project that has never run into these kinds of problems and delays. There is a staff member at Sound Transit who puts together PowerPoints. They have never created a PowerPoint that didn't fail to load the first time they double-click on it in a conference room for a meeting. That's how bad Sound Transit is. I would love to be able to do a story celebrating a project that's just on budget, not even under budget, on budget and on time. Again, not even early. Just on time. I am a believer in getting around town without a car because I don't own a car. I would love it if it was even more convenient for me to do that. For me right now, my lifestyle and where I live, proximity to the office, proximity to a bus stop, I get around that way. It works for me. Will it work for everyone? No. But I'm willing to bet it can work for a little bit more people, just a little bit more than it currently does. And I would rather them take that option and get off the road so that you guys who have to be on the road have an easier time getting from point A to point B, with the exception of between 3 and 7 o'clock, because the longer you're in your car, it's better for me. That's my preference. And yet, Sound Transit or WashDOT or any really of these agencies, they never, ever, ever deliver. They never deliver. And then they get mad when you point it out. And then they get even more mad when people don't take their services. And then when you call them out for being over budget and over their timeline, they're like, how dare you? We are just, we're governments, we're public servants. We're doing this for you to save the environment. Yeah. Whatever. Jim Farrell said, it's still worth the wait. Don't worry. He spoke with our sister station, Kyra News Radio.
For something this critical, they've got to get it right. My comparison is whenever I'm getting on a plane or if I'm on a plane and they're saying, well, we got to do some work for the safety of the plane. My attitude is take your time, get it right.
Okay. That would work, and that would be a great like response to this if this was like the first time a plane was being delivered. Like, we never even heard of a plane. This concept of flying in a tube in the air, it was just completely new to us, and they first said it. Actually, hold on. I know you're all excited to get on this plane, but we're going to have to spend another couple years because it's not yet safe. It's just going to fall out of the sky. We'll all be like, okay, if you're going to do it right, let's do it right for the first time. Well, trains and light rail have been around for a very long time. Soil has been around for a very long time. And you can't figure this out is on you. It's absolutely on Sound Transit. Meanwhile, the Burien homeless encampment that the county said couldn't be swept because there was nowhere for them to go, that encampment was swept. And they went somewhere. It's not clear whether or not the city of Burien was officially involved. They had some employees there helping to clean out some of the larger structures that were left, some of the larger pieces of debris that was at this encampment. But the animal shelter Burien Cares, which is the organization that leased the land from the city to create an animal shelter, they were there. And they were apparently leading the way in cleaning up this encampment. They spoke, one of their leaders, Deborah something or other, spoke with Sam Campbell on our sister station. And I was talking to Sam today, and he said initially she just pretended that she and her employees were just concerned community members who just wanted to make sure everything was going right. And then he discovered, wait, you're the one who runs Burien Cares. She didn't want to be named. She didn't want her identity to be tied to this. And part of me completely understands that, right? Because they would just attack her in the activist community in Burien. They would just give her a hard time and pretend she's the enemy. But kudos to her. I mean, you could have put on a mask or something because she got caught. But good for her. Good for her. The city didn't do anything. The county didn't do anything. So she said, you know what? Screw this. This is my land. I'm paying for it. I'm leasing it. I'll sweep it. Kudos. Let's celebrate them. DJ lives in the encampment. He spoke with Cairo 7 TV.
It's kind of always getting prepared and ready to move wherever. Wants to figure something out. We got a couple ideas in mind, but we're kind of waiting to see what everybody else is going to do too.
I thought they couldn't go anywhere else. He said he had some other places in mind.
I think they might have ended up a block away.
That's so ridiculous what ends up happening. Dan lived in the encampment. He spoke with our sister station, Kyra News Radio, to say, yeah, look, we were here. No one came forward with a plan on how to help.
Had some people saying there'd be like
housing
and stuff maybe, but no one's really pushed through anything as far as you know, other than yelling off in the corner and letting us know. There is a couple of groups that are helping us try to move like better spots, hoping to try to get us somewhere, not back on the street. But for the most part, it's kind of been not much.
Oh. he definitely sounds like he's motivated to get his life in order. You can tell by the speech and how quick it is. Some might indicate he might be on drugs or something, but I think it's just he's so excited. That's why he talks that way.
That's
he's excited
it. That's
for
it.
Help. He says he's moved before.
I mean, you've done this a few bunch of times. I've been homeless for about 5 years here in town, so, I mean, it's not the first time it's happened. But, I mean, having a group like this together is a lot different than normally is, so I'm kind of hoping the group stays together.
A little community. You could all as a group go into shelter. You could as a group connect with a local nonprofit that will help you. You have Seattle Union Gospel Mission you can get help from right now. They will help you. I guarantee you, if you go up to them and say, I desperately need help, they will help. Because that's their life mission over there. This is someone who doesn't sound like he actually wants help at all. Like, not even a little bit. Because I would say, if you're on the streets for 5 years, and think about it from your perspective, you're listening right now, either at work or at home, in the car. Let's just say, God forbid, something were to happen, and you're just like, me and you, one missed paycheck away from leaving on the street. Okay, so you end up on the streets. Do you fight, like, tooth and nail to get off the streets, or do you just kind of give up and say, yeah, you know, I'll wait for a plan. Someone will come to me and offer me something, and, you know, I don't know if I'll accept it, but we'll wait for it. I wouldn't wait. Would you wait? Wouldn't you be proactive because you want to get off the streets? You would connect with family and friends. You would connect with a coworker if you had to. Just anything to get off the streets. I get that when we're dealing with someone who's dealing with mental health issues or addiction, and maybe he's dealing with both or none or one. I don't know. And in those cases, I would argue we have a moral responsibility to get a little bit more aggressive in pushing them in the right direction and compelling them if we have to. Because they will never make that decision. And you know what? Frankly, I don't know what's going on with DJ David. But someone needs to be in his life that says, we're not giving you an option here. You're going to say yes to the help. Or we'll throw you in jail because you're breaking the law. But I would prefer you just say, yes, you will accept our help. And every individual is going to be a little bit different. Some you're going to have to handhold a lot. But if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. Our goal is to get them off the street. I would rather spend a little extra money on the services to help these people then continue to waste money on services that aren't doing anything. And we let these people just do exactly what it is they want to do. It is not fair to them. And frankly, it's not fair to the people who live in these communities. And the folks in Burien, particularly the business owners, have been saying over and over and over again, we cannot do this anymore. We cannot do this anymore. We need help. And so kudos to Burien Cares for what it is they did. Allegedly, I guess. I don't know. No, she says it in her interview. I listened to the interview. Meanwhile, in Auburn, there is an apartment complex called the Copper Gate that keeps experiencing shootings. In fact, according to Cairo 7 TV, 5 in 5 days.
People that have bullets in their cars, bullets in their tires, through their rooms of like their living area.
With the most recent shooting that occurred, Cairo 7 TV says multiple people were involved. 3 stolen cars were recovered from this apartment complex. Now, the spokesperson for the Auburn PD, Colby Crossley, spoke with Cairo 7 TV.
It is. It's alarming, and it's something that we're looking into and we're taking very seriously. Why are there so many shootings at this place, and why have they happened so frequently in just the past few days?
I know the answer.
What is it?
And again, it's not fair because that's just a spokesperson and I'm a detective. Because bad guys live there.
That checks out.
Yeah, there we go. That's why it's happening. Because bad guys either live right in the complex or around the complex, or bad guys are friends with, we'll call them bad guy adjacents that live in that apartment. That's why. It's really that simple. That's why you would have five. Are we going to pretend that this is somehow a coincidence? It just so happens that there have been 5 shootings and 3 stolen cars at the same exact apartment complex in Auburn. Are we just going to do that? I'm assuming they're all connected. I know they're saying, you know, we're doing our investigation. We want to see whether or not they're all connected. They're connected. Detective Rance signs off on it. They're all connected. Go door to door. You'll find the people who are responsible It's just, this is insane. And I feel bad for the people who live there. I feel awful for those people. And then finally, there have been over 15 dogs showing signs of an upper respiratory illness at the Humane Society for Tacoma and Pierce County. We're talking about kennel cough, canine pneumovirus, whatever that is. Apparently, it's serious. Some of the symptoms include, obviously, coughing, but discharge from eyes or nose, abnormal breathing. And because the shelter isn't huge, they've got limited space. They've got a facility that, frankly, is completely outdated. So they're trying to do their best to keep these dogs healthy. And they've come out and they said, look, we need some help. Now, obviously, the first thing they need some help with is donations, right? You donate money to them and they can put into some of the upkeep and maybe build out a better part of the facility. They're looking for people who can foster these dogs. I'm assuming not just the sick ones, but the ones that aren't sick, so we make sure that they don't become sick. But there was a part of this King 5 story that, God bless them over at Tacoma Pierce County Humane Society. They say, currently the shelter has over 45 adoptable dogs in need of a loving home. To help boost adoptions, fees will be $50 for all adult dogs 2 years and old, 2 years old and older, from June 2nd to the 16th. So, number one, you're giving us a kennel cough discount. So we get here's $50. You get the dog who then stops breathing on the drive home after having a coughing fit. The poor little pug is like, and then it just stops breathing. Number two, that's exactly how dogs cough. Don't give me that look. That was exactly
how it was. I'm not saying
it's
not how they cough. It's just a lot. Didn't you just donate to save these dogs' lives?
No, I did. They have four legs. But isn't that awful advice? Because don't we often hear that families end up getting a dog or a cat or whatever, adopting an animal, but they're not really ready for it? And we just did all these stories about how during COVID, because everyone was bored, they decided to go ahead and adopt a dog, but then they realized dogs are really needy, and now you can't leave the dog alone at home ever as you're going back into the office. And then you get some King 5 story that says, you know, there's an uptick in returns to these adoption centers. And so why would we incentivize adoptions for $50? Wouldn't we at this point learn that making it easier to adopt a dog in that way just usually ends up with a family getting a dog that they're not ready for? I want the dogs adopted, but is there someone out there who says, you know what, I can't afford $250, but I can afford $50. If that's the case, you can't afford a dog, period. Dogs are expensive. Dogs are really expensive. And with inflation, dogs are even more expensive. All the food associated with that you're going to have to buy over the course of their... I mean, if you get the kennel dog, it'll be dead in about a month and a half. But I mean, all the other dogs, I'm kidding, it'll be fine. Well, I don't know. I don't know what kennel cough is other than you cough in a kennel. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to send me a text, tell me which story you want me to discuss next. The Montana transgender lawmaker who is basically threatening companies like Target, or a Texas judge says no AI in the courtroom. Why? How would it even come up? You tell me. 1-800-465-8770.
You picked the topic on the Jason Rance Show.
Indeed you do, and you went with Texas judge says no AI in courtroom unless the lawyers certify it was verified by a human. This is actually find really, really interesting. There's a federal judge in Texas who is telling every single lawyer in the cases before him that they have to certify that they didn't use artificial intelligence technology to draft filings without a human being checking whether or not it is accurate. This judge is Brantley Starr. He said in an interview this week that he devised such a requirement to warn lawyers that AI tools can create fake cases and that he may sanction them if they rely on AI-generated information without first verifying it. That seems to be a big problem with AI if it is quite literally coming up with fake cases, to quote in a briefing.
That's sounds weird. Like extremely problematic.
Unless it's tricked into thinking a fake case that's discussed online, like maybe from a TV show. And maybe they pull it from, like, you know how they have like Wikipedia versions of shows?
Yeah.
I wonder, is like there's a Boston Legalpedia and they're pulling from that.
So you would hire that AI lawyer then?
Well, I don't know. They say we're at least putting lawyers on notice who might not otherwise be on notice that they can't just trust those databases. They've got to actually verify it themselves through a traditional database. Now, part of this is, frankly, it's just protecting the sanctity of the courtroom. They want to make sure that everyone who is on trial or has a case in front of this judge, that they are getting the best legal representation as they can. And I understand why some might want to lean on AI technology, because I guess it could make some aspects of this much easier to, you know, quickly get through. But he's right. I mean, if you don't go back and at least double check what they've put out, I think you are not necessarily abusing the system, but you're letting the system down and you're letting your client down. Starr explained that he began drafting the mandate while attending a panel on AI at a conference hosted by the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, according to Fox News. The judge said he considered banning the use of AI in his courtroom altogether, but had decided not to do so after conversations with UCLA School of Law professor Eugene Volok, who undoubtedly said, yeah, you can't do that. That's against law. That your judge, they have First Amendment rights. You're not able to do that. And he says he noted that he and his staff, he's going to at least live what he's preaching, and he vows not to use AI at all. AI is only going to develop more and more prevalence in our society, in our everyday lives. We're already seeing it in use. Really, most of us probably have experienced this if we dealt with customer service of any kind. It all starts off before you get to a human. The chances are you're talking about AI. And some of it was when there was a point 5-ish years ago or so, at least, where I noticed more of the customer service representative saying on the line, the automated voice saying, explain your problem in at least 5 words or whatever it is. And you explain your problem. And certainly early on, it didn't quite understand what it was that you were saying unless you really dumbed it down. But that technology has gotten much better, where it can get a general sense of what it is you're asking and then route you to the right department. That's artificial intelligence. That's AI technology. It is going to look rudimentary when compared to everything else that you're eventually going to be able to do. And I used to say, you know, make sure you get yourself a job in which AI can't replace you. And I used to say, well, then good news is talk radio is good. I'm fine. You're not going to be able to replicate this, except you can replicate this now because there are the voice AI technology products that can clone your voice. And it sounds awfully similar to like I've heard voices being cloned. And I imagine talk radio hosts, the easiest to clone, because you've got hours and hours and hours worth of audio that you can feed into the system so it can get a better sense of how you speak, the cadence, the tone, all those things, the word choice that you use, your little quirks that you have on air. I bet you that it's probably really easy to do it for a talk show host. And you can just tell it in the voice of Jason Rantz, complain about sound transit. I mean, how easy would that be for AI?
Be extremely easy. Out,
right? So it's weird. I went on and I did the OpenAI thing before, and I've asked it to write a paragraph in my voice. I sent a link to my blog at ktth.com. I say, analyze this copy, this text. And then I said, write a story. I can't remember what it was, but I gave it a topic. Write a story in the voice of Jason Rantz, no more than 7 sentences. And it did it. It was stilted, the copy. Like, you can tell it wasn't a human being who wrote it. But that's only going to get better and better and better. And the only here's something that's positive, or at least more positive than negative, in this world of legal work. There are people who represent themselves, or people who, you know, have very minor things in front of a court. Maybe it does make sense for them to utilize AI a little bit more. And maybe you were upfront with the judge in the case. Look, judge, I can't afford a lawyer. I need to still have representation. I'm representing myself, and I used AI. And the judge can look at it and say, well, okay, good on you. 1-800-465-8770 for your texts.